Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
This morning, I experienced a pastor's worst fear, or one of them. I got up to the chancel area, we started worship, and I was flipping through my Bible looking for my sermon, and I couldn't find it. I frantically told John, "Cover this," and I ran to my office, and it was sitting on my desk where I had left it. But as I thought about that, and I thought about the story for today of Joseph, I thought about how I was just having one of those days, one of those moments, one of those weeks, one of those years. We've all said it, right? Joseph had one of those lives. He just had a lot of things thrown at him, and a lot of times it wasn't fair, and he just went with it. And somehow, we got to where we are today. Carl Sagan once said, "You have to know the past to understand the present." In 1821, a group of people began gathering for a time of worship in a small home. This time would mark the beginning of something that no one would ever see coming. But it would be part of a transformation of the community that it existed in. But before I tell you more of this story, let us go back a little bit further. A little bit before 1821, because to know the past helps us to understand the present. Toward the beginning of the book of Genesis, we find God calling Abraham to leave Ur and go to the place where God showed him. Abraham was promised since the time that God called him to go to Ur, or to leave Ur, that he would have descendants that equaled the amount of the stars in the sky. If you have read through the first part of Genesis, you will find that there are many moments where Abraham and Sarah thought it was impossible and that they would never have children of their own, as God seemed to promise them over and over again, only for them to be barren. But there was always this promise, this hope from God that kept them wondering and hoping that just maybe. And eventually they had Isaac. Isaac grew up, not without a little family drama on a mountaintop where his dad almost sacrificed him, but he grew up and he married Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah had twins, Jacob and Esau. This sibling rivalry was like no one had ever seen, and they could not have been any more different. Esau was hairy, and he lived off the land. He was an outdoorsman, whereas Jacob was the complete opposite. Jacob was also a bit conniving. He ended up stealing Esau's birthright from Isaac by making Isaac think that he was Esau when Isaac was dying. Out of fear for his life of what Esau might do to him, Jacob would then run and find a home with Laban. Laban had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Rachel, which Jacob wanted to marry. And Laban said, "If you will work for me for 7 years, I will give you Rachel's hand in marriage." So Jacob worked for 7 years. But instead of getting Rachel's hand, he got Leah's, which was Laban's oldest daughter. After having a harsh conversation with Laban, they decided that he would work 7 more years to also have Rachel's hand. Throughout Jacob's life, he had 12 sons in all, 6 by Leah, 2 by Bilhah, 2 by Zilpah, and 2 by Rachel, Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph was the firstborn from Rachel, and according to scripture, was Jacob's favorite. And the rest of the brothers resented him for it. At one point in scripture, we read that Jacob gave Joseph this coat. Many of us know this coat to be the coat of many colors. But one of the things that I learned this week as I was researching this is that the coat of many colors does not appear in the NRSV version. It does, however, appear in the King James Version. In the NRSV version, it says a coat with long sleeves. So a coat of many colors is a lot better, right? Joseph was also somewhat of a pain to deal with. He seemed to gloat about his position with his father. Though he was one of the youngest, he had that power. And he tended to press every button of his brothers. So his brothers decided to get rid of him. I mean, what else do you do when your brother's annoying you? You decide to get rid of them. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then the Ishmaelites sold him to an Egyptian by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar trusted Joseph with everything he had because he gained that trust by working for him. And it seemed that everything that Joseph tended to touch was like pure gold. Everything happened and worked like it was supposed to. Everything was going well for Joseph at this point. But then Potiphar's wife made a false accusation about Joseph, and that landed him in prison. In prison, he interpreted the dreams of 2 prisoners. One went well. The other did not. Both came true. Eventually, he would interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. And he said that there would be 7 years of plenty of grain, and then there would be 7 years that followed of famine. After this, Pharaoh put him in charge of his house, and he became the overseer of receiving grain through those years of plenty, so that they would have grain in the years of famine. And then his brothers, who had sold him to Ishmaelites so long ago and really thought him dead, came for food because they were hungry, because the famine had struck where they lived. And that is where our story picks up today. Reading from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed they were at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land in these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. This is the word of God for the people of God, and so we say.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, may you just be present in this place. May we receive a word from you this day. Open our hearts and our minds so that we can hear and know that you are here. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Amen. When Joseph appeared to his brothers, he had 2 choices. He could react to them out of revenge or out of forgiveness. According to the desire of the heart, it's very possible that Joseph could have avenged the terrible things that his brothers had done to him years earlier. He could have made it extremely difficult to get food, or he could have just denied them food altogether. But Joseph chose forgiveness. He chose to make a choice that recognized that his brothers and he himself were all flawed and human, and that we make mistakes. In offering his brothers forgiveness, he also opened a door to them. But just as Joseph had 2 choices to make, his brothers likely had 1 of 2 responses or reactions. When Joseph made himself known to his brothers, they simply just didn't respond. I would venture to say that part of this reason is because they honestly thought him dead. So to them, it may have felt like a dead man walking, which is terrifying and might cause one to just be silent. The other reaction was possibly fear. In making himself known to them as their brother, they may have begun to think back to all of those things that they had done to him all those years before. And maybe they had thought through all of this famine that this was their punishment for what they had done to their brother, and this brother is standing right in front of them. They hated him. They sold him to slavery, and they had given him up for dead. Yet here he stood, their long-lost brother in a position of great power. There were probably a lot of questions, but it's possible that one stood out to them. What might happen to them in the hands of their long-lost brother, whom they sold into slavery, who is now a powerful brother? Have you ever had that question in your own mind? Maybe not about your long-lost brother who sold you into slavery and had power over you now, but maybe someone that you trusted, who broke trust, or someone who has hurt you. You see, in spite of it all, Joseph chose forgiveness. Forgiveness is not easy to do. It requires hard work. And oftentimes when we talk about forgiveness, we often talk about it as a weakness. But the reality is that forgiveness shows great courage and strength. It does not subvert justice, but it does allow the space for justice to be played out while not including the revenge that is often craved. It is not easily forgotten, and it's not always quick. Sometimes it takes a long time of remembering and working through the cycle of grief to come to a place of total forgiveness. But until we find our way to forgiveness, we remain locked in our pain and locked out of the possibility of experiencing healing and freedom, and locked out of the possibility at being at peace. Isn't that what we want? To be at peace, not just with one another, but with ourselves? But it's also in that space of forgiveness where a door is opened to peace between people, but it also is a space for peace within yourself. And it is in this moment that Joseph sets aside himself and whatever rage or anger that he might have against his brothers, and he simply embraces them and says, "I am your brother and I will take care of you." But the story of Joseph isn't just about teaching us about forgiveness. It teaches us also that there is peace in forgiveness. But more than that, it teaches us that even in the midst of the chaos, God is in fact with us, and God is in fact working through everything. Throughout the story of Joseph and throughout the conversation that we heard this morning between he and his brothers, we find him saying that God has sent me, almost to say, God has been preparing me to take care of you. God is doing something. God is coming, inviting us to receive this divine compassion, not just in Joseph's brokenness and Joseph's brokenness of relationship, but also in our own brokenness and in our own brokenness of relationships. Looking back, we see how God has been at work within and among the story of Joseph. Earlier, I said you have to know the past to understand the present. The story of Joseph began long before Joseph, and it continued long after Joseph. In fact, if you were to read the last part of Genesis and the first part of Exodus, you would find that the new Pharaoh in town after Joseph passed away did not know all of the things that Joseph would do. And so all of those people that Joseph had been protecting was no longer protected, and they became slaves in Egypt. Which leads us to the Exodus. The story of the people of God is a story that continues even today. And God is in the midst of it. God has been working through all of these things that have happened to Joseph and to the people of God ever since the beginning. And God is working through us. Sometimes, despite our own humanity, God is present. I began a story in the beginning. In 1821, a group of people began gathering for a time of worship in a small home. This time would mark the beginning of something that no one could have ever seen coming, much like the brothers of Joseph could have never seen coming that he was going to appear to them and take care of them and watch over them. But this thing, this gathering, would be a part of a transformation of a community that it existed in. Since its charter in 1821, it has seen a lot of change, not just within its community, but also within its walls. It has been relocated several times, with a chunk of that time being in one location for 115 years or so. It's seen several pastors, several generations of people, several growth spurts, several arguments, and several moments of unity in the midst of the arguments. Throughout the 1900s, there was always something going on in this church, whatever that is, both day and night. And as it moved into the new millennium, it just picked up more until it became what it is today. A beautiful church full of people willing and ready to serve God in whatever capacity that looks like, that sits on Thompson Lane. And people come in and out every single day of the week, experiencing hopefully the grace and love and mercy of God. This is our story. This church was founded 200 years ago in a small room. This church and so many others are proof that surrender may come through the shattering experiences that we do not welcome, those things that come to us that we may not see coming, those things that come to us that are hard or difficult or challenging or are obstacles that simply have to be overcome. But even that reveals God's presence, not just in our growth that we will look back upon and know that God has been there from the very beginning. No matter where we go as a church, God will still move. God is moving. No matter what we do, forgiveness is offered by a God who loves us even more than Joseph could ever love his brothers. May we be that church. And may we know that God is moving among us no matter what, and that that forgiveness is always offered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.